You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and I am here today with another fan favorite, Kamra Ira, an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation Tampa Bay. Welcome, Ira. How you doing, comrade?
I'm doing as well as I can be, Ruth. It's been quite the start to this new year, but I'm happy to be here continuing the fight. I'm happy to be back on the Ruthless Truth.
Yes, and I'm very happy that you are doing this show with me today. I know it has been a crazy, crazy start to the new year, and I know it's something that we are going to get into as the show progresses today. Now, let's go ahead and move on to our main topic, which is Eyes Out for Good, the murder and cover-up of Renee Nicole Good.
Absolutely. Today, we're going to break down three different video perspectives of the shooting. And we're really going to just, debunk a little bit of the common myths that have been said about this incident and try to lay it all out for our listeners. So to start with, to break down, Renee Good and her wife, Becca Good, were driving back home with her dog in the back seat from dropping off their 7-year-old son at school on January 7th when they came across a group of ICE agents harassing a neighborhood. In the bystander perspective video, it appears her burgundy Honda was stopped in the road. As she was waving other cars past, agents crawled out of a truck and started circling her vehicle and yelling conflicting orders. This angle showed two agents approached her Honda SUV and attempted to open the driver's side door, intending to pull Renee out of her vehicle. The video clearly shows Renee was steering her car to the right, attempting to drive past the agent. Jonathan Ross, who had planted himself in front of her vehicle, her killer rounded the front of her car as she drove and fired 3 shots, shooting her in the face.
Yes, and now Jonathan Ross, the killer, was also taking a video. And in his video, you can see him pass by Renee's side window with the camera in her face. And she says, "That's fine, dude. I'm not mad at you," end quote. And then he walks around the back of the car, videoing their license plate, where he encounters Becca Good, a queer woman, who informs him of her veteran status and says, as a remark about him recording the license plate, after which he switches his phone to the other hand while positioning himself in front of the vehicle. Renee turns her wheel to the right, and then she tries to drive away as she was avoiding the agents trying to breach her vehicle. Her wife, Becca, tried the passenger side door, but it was locked. A second later, Becca yelled, "Drive, baby, drive." And this is when Ross fired once through the windshield and twice through her open driver's side window when he is fully out of the way.
Absolutely. And there is a third video from the perspective of the resident of the home that was adjacent to the shooting that Renee's car crashed into. In the video, you can hear her wife screaming, "You shot my wife in the head and she was talking to you." And there's a voice of a man offering medical assistance, demanding that he be able to provide medical assistance, saying he is a doctor, but he was unable to reach her body as a mass of armed men prevent him from doing so. The video ends with Renee being pulled out of the car, being denied CPR, and then put into an ambulance, presumably already dead. So they completely refused to allow her medical treatment from someone offering. And Renee, the big takeaway I want people to get from this breakdown is that Renee died because a man got mad a woman challenged him, that lesbians would dare to defy his orders. The patriarchy puts men like this in charge. They give them guns. They give them 50K sign-up bonuses. And a society that demands obedience and permits the death of women and other oppressed people for resisting is a symptom of this patriarchy. It is the same system that enables Donald Trump and his gang of thugs to spread and sustain their lies with impunity. Without the underlying misogyny of this case, we would not be seeing this media reaction. Donald Trump said on X, "I have just viewed the clip of the event which took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It is a horrible thing to watch. The woman screaming was obviously a professional agitator, and the woman driving the car was very disorderly, obstructing and resisting, who then violently, willfully, and viciously ran over the ICE officer who seems to have shot her in self-defense. Based on the attached clip, it's hard to believe that he's alive, but is now recovering in the hospital. The situation is being studied in its entirety, but the reason these incidents are happening is because the radical left is threatening, assaulting, and targeting our law enforcement officers and ICE agents on a daily basis." And J.D. Vance also said in a press conference, "That guy is protected by absolute immunity. He was doing his job." This is being spun by the right wing as an act of domestic terrorism. And that's the narrative that they're trying to run with. Despite the fact that ICE is the one who escalated the situation, Jonathan Ross could have just gotten out of the way without shooting her. He purposefully chose to put himself in front of her car. He chose to punish this woman. In my opinion, this was an attempt to punish Becca Good for her remarks where she makes him feel emasculated. She talks about how she is a military veteran, how what he's doing is ridiculous. And for that, her wife was killed. He was punishing them for their resistance to his authority. This was premeditated. We can see that from his video perspective when he chooses to switch the cell phone hand that he was holding with so that his gun hand can be free. And then he moves himself in front of the car. So this idea that people that are resisting the deportation and murder of our neighbors are criminals and terrorists. And we need to push back against that narrative. These are activists. These are your community organizers. These are your legal observers. These are people to hear who are supposed to make democracy work the way we're being told that it's supposed to work. And they're being called terrorists for this. It's someone had been executed in the street. And even then, people will still watch that video and try to justify it. But luckily, the majority of people are standing up against this. We've seen protests break out in Minneapolis and across the nation. And in fact, in our very own Tampa Bay.
We do know that at least a day after the ICE officer shot Renee in Minneapolis, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem quietly ordered new restrictions on congressional visits to immigration facilities. That order, put into effect Thursday by the Trump administration, it forces lawmakers to seek a week advance notice before conducting oversight visits to ICE detention because they do not want us to see their crime. It's really, it's really my summary of what's really happening. But going back to Renee Good, we know that she was a queer woman of three. She was a poet, a neighbor, a human being who cared about her community. And as a legal observer, she gave her passion, time, and ultimately life to protecting her immigrant neighbors. She had no criminal history and was beloved by her community. And I know that we are all calling for local authorities to arrest Jonathan Ross for murder. I mean, we know that since the incident happened, the right-wing content creator Clyde Emmons set up a GoFundMe that has amassed over 600,000 in donations. But I also want to mention that Secretary Kristi Noem, it was just 2 hours after she was murdered, meaning her body was still cold when she came on the regular media and said that and called her a terrorist and said that, she basically deserved what happened instead of seeing the traditional path that we see after someone is killed, which is a whole investigation is conducted. You know, they usually do clear themselves at the end, but at least there is some type of investigation. In this case, there have been no investigation at all. Now, I want to move the conversation to another person that was also murdered by ICE officer, right? And this is Keith Potter. This happened in New Year's Eve when Keith Potter was murdered by an off-duty ICE officer in the North Shrill neighborhood of Los Angeles. Porter, a father of two and a member of Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, was outside his apartment celebrating a long-standing New Year's Eve tradition of firing guns into the air. We all know about that because it happens everywhere. And this was when an off-duty officer, ICE officer, who lived in his complex, demanded that he put his weapon down, and when he did not comply, murder him in cold blood. Officials in the Trump administration have also tried to justify this homicide by claiming that the agent identified himself as law enforcement. We are here to remind you that ICE is not law enforcement, and their legal jurisdiction extends only to immigrant and custom matters. They have absolutely zero general authority to respond to gunshots or any emergency. But that's not all. On top of that, the officer was not wearing any sort of uniform or identifier. He had no authority to demand that the victim put down the gun or even kill him for it. Keith Porter's killer has not been named or charged. The people that ICE has been hiring from the get-go have been traitors to their own working class, but the Trump administration rounds of hires seem to be the most disgusting, racist, misogynist incels that used to be only able to find in the darkest corners of the internet. Trump administration finds people capable of cruelty and rewards them for it. People that are too stupid to be police officers or prison guards are being given a $50,000 signing bonus, a gun, and absolute immunity. The wannabe hero freak that killed Keith Porter is one in thousands in Trump's personal militia. Now that they have gotten away with one murder, you know, multiple occasions, bystanders and legal observers are posting videos of ICE agents where they are implying and threatening that they too can use legal force for impunity, signaling that dissent, documentation, and mere presence could be met with the same fate. Let's go ahead and listen into this quick clip from Now This Impact.
Shame on you.
Listen, have y'all not learned from the past couple of days? Have you not learned?
Learned what? What's our lesson here? What do you want us to learn?
Following federal agents.
Give me my phone back.
Oh my God. That was horrifying. He was basically threatening the person with the camera that they could be potentially murdered too. And that is the attitude that these agents are carrying themselves with, that they are emboldened by the murder of Renee Good. They are emboldened by the fact they know the FBI's got their back. They know there will never be a fair investigation into their crimes. And they're just outright threatening people with cameras to the camera. The audacity.
Yes, yes. And these are not even isolated stories, right? We also have a horrific story that happened last year, but it's important that we do mention it. The story of Silverio Villegas Gonzalez, right?
Absolutely. Very important that we discuss this one, because yes, Silverio was killed back in September during a traffic stop in the suburbs of Chicago. But just like Renee, he was fleeing for his life when he was shot. The officers were breaking into his car window as he was reversing to, you know, try to get away. And ICE claims the officer was fearing for his life and had sustained serious injuries, despite video evidence of him walking around just fine and showing that he's perfectly okay. And when a police officer arrived to the scene and asked him if he was injured, he said, quote, nothing major. But after that, the story from ICE and the DHA was that he had been dragged in the car and sustained serious injuries and multiple injuries that had to be treated at a hospital, which that is not what eyewitness report says, and that is not what the video of the scene shows. And even if Silverio was resisting arrest, that is not enough to warrant an execution of a father of three. especially in the context of 3,000 people having gone missing under Operation Midway Blitz alone. So fear of this abduction is more than reasonable.
You mentioned Operation Midway Blitz. What is that?
So Operation Midway Blitz is an operation focused on the suburbs of Chicago, but it does extend to all of Illinois, by ICE, targeting specifically the Mexican community. The operation deployed by the National Guard. This operation has also deployed the National Guard to mostly Hispanic neighborhoods, focusing around Mexican Independence Day. So they're trying to get people while they're out having fun and celebrating. Over 3,000 people have gone missing from this operation alone, and they have arrested whole families, including children as young as 1 year old is the youngest that they've arrested. So little infants, they're arresting as part of this operation. And Silverio's death was a part of this targeted campaign of harassment against Mexicans. And his story has a lot of similarities to Renee's story. The playbook is the exact same. They use the fact that the victims are in cars to justify their death. Like, if simply being in a car is seen as being in possession of a deadly weapon, then anyone driving, something that most workers do, most of us do, we have to get from place to place, we don't have public transportation, we have to drive, that is reason alone to be killed with impunity. So the exact same playbook, and that's why it's important to highlight that they've been doing this, and they will continue to do this, simply to anyone behind the wheel of a car.
That's shameful, you know, and I know that throughout this past week, I have been watching the news, and I know that CNN, MSNBC both reported that it is the policy of the Department of Homeland Security that you are not supposed to shoot into a moving vehicle. Like, it literally lays it out right then and there, but, you know, there is no investigation, and it doesn't sound like this person will be held accountable, at least not during this administration. Thank you so much for sharing Silverio's story with us, and also Keith Porter's stories, you know, important stories that are that show the pattern that ICE has when it comes to the way that they are treating people with just this, you know, increased amount of violence for absolutely no reason. And I do want to highlight something before we move on to our next section of how we are going to fight back, right? Because we have to fight back. But there is also another video going through social media right now, which shows that there was a young man. He looks like he's probably 23, 24 year old, kind of, you know, reminds me of my son, that was actually detained. He was inside his car, and there was a big struggle to get him out of the car. But once they get him out of the car, his body is completely limp. Like, you can see he looks lifeless, really. And they get him and they drag him to a car, and they are trying to make him sit, like put his body to sit between two officers. And as I mentioned, his body looks completely lifeless. Like, there are absolutely no signs of life in him that whole time. I mean, he gets put into the car and two officers sit next to him and are taken away. And everyone in the news and social media are looking for any news regarding this man, because he looks like he was murdered. You know, we don't know if he's dead or alive, but it's information that people are looking for, because based on the video, the last that we see, and the video goes on for over 5 minutes, is just his lifeless body. So we need to know if this is someone that survived that or not, you know. But thank you so much for that analysis, Comrade Ira. And now let's go on to how are we going to fight back, right? Because go ahead.
Real quick, I just, as we finish this off, I just want to leave people with the takeaway that this could be any of us. This truly could be any of us. Renee and Silverio were dropping off their kids. Keith Porter was celebrating New Year's in his neighborhood. He was like, and the backgrounds of the people don't matter. They will still kill you. Renee was a white woman. Keith was a black man. Silverio was a Hispanic man. It doesn't matter to these people. And if all of them can be killed with impunity, I want everyone to take a moment to realize that it could be you. You don't necessarily have to be an activist. It could be you. It could be your loved ones. It could be your friends. Anyone driving home is at risk of being murdered by ICE. That is the reality of the world we live in, and we need to be hyper-vigilant to that reality. So yes, please tell us, what can we do to fight back, Ruth?
Yes, well, we have to continue to call for ICE to be abolished. We need to imagine a world where there is free flowing of migration enriching our communities. Americans are able to move to any country that they want to with relative ease. And the reverse is deeply unfair. If you are from one of the top two countries from U.S. migration, like Mexico and the Philippines, your average wait time of moving here is slightly less than 20 years, which is really a couple of decades, you know? We also demand a world free from colonial extractions. These countries are rich on resources enough to provide for the basic needs for their population. And if we can destroy the imperial system arm in arm with the working class of the world, there will be no need for people to flee the artificial scarcity in their homelands. People have always fled to the heart of the empire when the empire tentacles were destroying their homes. We must have a socialist revolution that destroyed the capitalist monster system. And until then, we must continue to protest, stand up, and protect our undocumented neighbors and organize. But I do have some tangible actions that we can do too. Leaders from Minnesota in the labor, faith, and community leaders have joined to call for a general strike on Friday, January 3rd. They are calling for no work, no school, and no shopping, and I know that they are planning a really big march. They are demanding ICE out of Minnesota, justice for Renee Nicole Good, and an end to all ICE terror. And although we are not in Minnesota, comrade, I feel that if we are able to join this strike, we should join it. So we should not be going to work if we are able to. Don't go to school and no shopping on January 3rd. And really, let's start thinking about this as one of the strategies that we will need to use on a nationwide basis as ICE continues to hire people and expand and invade our communities. Because I know Minnesota is not going to be the last state to be invaded with ICE agents. So those are things that are very tangible that we can do. There's also a call that I have seen in many places on social media where there's a call for a national day of action on the 20th. Regardless, is this week coming up? So, you know, stay aware, check for on social media for any local events that come up. But do know that we have the power to stay at home, to not go to school, and definitely not do any shopping at a minimum on January 23rd. We do have economic power as the people of this country, and we need to start exercising that power.
Absolutely. The people have always had the power. We just need to use it.
I was hoping truly that the mayor of Minnesota, you know, we know that he has been so upset by everything that's happening, that he feels like his city is being taken over by a federal force, which is the reality of what's happening. I was just hoping that he will say, we're just going to shut down the whole state. And, you know, there will be people suffering, but he has the power to provide food for families and other, you know, community networks that can be formed real fast, so that the whole state can shut down. So I see this as something that we can pick up on a nationwide level. You know, eventually, we need to have general strikes. It worked really well back in 2006 when the Congress wanted to make it a felony for people to be here undocumented. There was a very strong movement. You know, a lot of people mobilized to Washington, D.C., but it was the Day Without Immigrants that were actually very impactful. And we shut down the economy. There's only so much money that rich and wealthy people that rule our country are willing to lose before they give in. You know, they give us crumbs. I call them concessions. Like, they just give us little crumbs for us to go back home. But we need to exercise that power. So just something to put in the back of your head, because I feel that this year in 2026, we will need to do something about that. And that is one of the tools that we have in our box of how we can defend ourselves and demand more by completely shutting down the economy.
Absolutely. We are definitely going to need to use all the tools in our tool belt. And I predict there's going to be some more strikes and general strikes happening in the future. So everyone needs to get prepared and get disciplined for that.
Yes, definitely. Now we are heading, comrade, towards the end of our show. So let's go ahead and go through what's next in the neighborhood so that people know what's coming up and, you know, opportunities for them to get engaged and become part of the movement. So what do we have going on in Minnesota, in the Bradenton and Sarasota area, for example?
Yes. Now more than ever, people need to get involved. The Justice for Briante campaign and the Party for Socialism and Liberation will be hosting an organizing meeting on Saturday, January 31st at 12 p.m. at the Palmetto Branch Library to stop police violence in Palmetto, Florida. They'll be discussing updates in the Justice for Briante campaign and their newest fight to stop racist police juvenile curfew policies from passing in the Palmetto City Commission.
Oh, yes. That rings a bell. I believe that something like that passed at the county level late December. And we know that these curfews just really criminalize our children. They put them in contact with police. You know, these interactions are life and death situations because the police happen to just kill people at their will. So it is something that's very dangerous for our communities. How about San P? Is there anything happening in San P coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. Roe v. Wade has been dead for 3.5 years, and abortion rights have gotten bleaker by the day in our great state of Florida. Activists with Pinellas Now, National Organization for Women, commemorate the ruling's anniversary and protest Florida's 6-week abortion ban and other laws attacking reproductive freedom throughout downtown. So, and this is happening in St. Pete. There's no cover, but online registration is recommended for the Roe v. Wade commemoration/reproductive freedom visibility event happening Thursday, January 21st from 12 to 1 p.m. in St. Petersburg. The link to the registration is in our new Instagram bio, where we will be posting and updating links to all future Next in Neighborhood events. So be sure to follow the Ruthless Truth on Instagram so that you can keep up with what's happening in your neighborhood.
Thank you so much for that. And then Tampa is the biggest. We have a couple of events in Tampa, right?
Absolutely. January 31st at 7:30, there's going to be a teach-in and queerioke with the People's Pride Coalition. So come out to learn about pinkwashing. We're going to have an art raffle. There's going to be a discount on food. And of course, you can come and sing your heart out. So if you got a good, like, maybe a soulful ballad, you can come down and sing. And also, you'll be able to hear me give a speech on pinkwashing and imperialism. So hopefully we'll see you there. Now, on January 20th, join the nationwide shutdown. On the one-year anniversary of Trump taking office for the second time, millions of people across the country are going to walk out of work and school in opposition to Trump's administration's racist billionaire program. Trump has employed ICE and the military as his personal army against the working class at home and abroad in places like Venezuela. We refuse to allow Trump, ICE, and the racist deportation machine to operate with impunity. Answer the call and join us in the streets on January 20th to say stop ICE terror, justice for Renee Cole, justice for Renee Nicole Good. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for an event near you in your neighborhood that day.
Thank you so much. And then now we also have something else that has to do with No War for Oil, correct?
Yes. The Party for Socialism and Liberation, Saturday, January 31st, for our next Tampa organizing meeting. Join us. We'll be discussing the narratives the U.S. tells about Venezuela versus the reality. So if history teaches us anything, is that the U.S. ruling class are a bunch of warmongers who will fabricate vicious lies to justify the violent interventions in nations around the globe. They lied about Iraq. They lied about Vietnam. They've lied about every imperialist war. So come on down and let's get into it. Let's debunk the lies and stand with the people of Venezuela in their fight for sovereignty. This is really great because I know a lot of people, especially, I've heard people in our audience, they are curious about Venezuela. They want to ask, they don't have a good understanding outside of, luckily, you know, they all listen to the Ruthless Truth and they get our takes, but this is a great place for you to ask in-depth questions and get answers. So please come on down and join us in strategizing and how we can intervene in the battle of ideas here locally.
Great. Thank you so much for those updates. And to our listeners, you heard this information. Please feel free to look up the information in any of the platforms that we mentioned or any of the organizations that we're mentioning here. Let's make sure to get involved. I feel that organizing, Conrad Ira, it fits my spirit. you know, so, and it helps me not feel hopeless. And with all the dark things that are happening these days, I actually feel like I'm doing something, you know, I'm fighting in my very small way. And I know that this is something that is also impacting our listeners. Many do feel the same way, but come and get involved in organizing and join others who are fighting back, and collectively and together, we can have a much bigger impact.
Absolutely. You know, on a personal note, organizing makes me feel whole. I don't know if I could exist with all this heartbreak in my soul unless I knew that I was dedicating as much of myself as I possibly could to fighting back against the injustices of the world and knowing